Hi, y'all. Welcome to the Hearts Cry podcast. Yep. My name is Imani.
And I'm Khadija.
And welcome.
Grace and peace.
We're glad you're here. So what are we talking about today?
We're talking about trusting God. Doing it blind.
Yeah.
Because it'd be like that sometimes.
It do be like that.
Yeah. So let's get into it. I guess, what does it mean? I guess I'll share what it means to do it blind.
Okay.
So I felt like one day I was in the middle of a season, I guess, and I heard the Holy Spirit tell me, do it blind. And for the most part, I think it just means following God,
yeah,
regardless of how you feel. So if that means if it's fear, if it's anxiety, if it's like, I don't got all the facts, like, where am I headed? Then you need to kind of just like do it anyway.
Yeah.
And do it blind and trust God.
Yeah.
And I think that can be a very like counterproductive feeling for us as human beings. But I think what makes it possible is because of who we're following.
Yeah.
Like, because it's God guiding us in a way, we can do it blind when it comes to him.
Yeah, because I think the reality is when we're doing it blind, even though technically it's blind, and we don't know all of the things, we don't know all of the details, mm-hmm. the reality is we do know who is calling us to do said thing.
Right.
And we also, we know enough to do something. Like, we know the it factor. We know, like, oh, there's this quote, I think it's by Martin Luther King, it might not be, don't quote me, but he was like, faith is taking the first step even when you can't see the full staircase.
Right.
And I think the thing with doing it blind is not that you can't see anything or you don't know anything, but that you don't see step two. You don't see all the other steps. You might know the very last step at the landing of the staircase, but you might not know how to get there, mm-hmm. but you know that God is telling you to do something.
Yeah.
And so it's following God in the sense of, I'm trusting that you, one, are good. I'm trusting that you told me to do this thing.
Right.
And I'm trusting that if you are calling me to said thing, you will also bring me through it and you'll continue to give me more direction as I continue to trust in you.
Yeah, I think that's so good. I think the idea that we don't have all of the information, but we have some of it, is a good thing, because sometimes I think if we had step two, three, and four, we probably wouldn't go. I wouldn't go.
I would not go either.
I barely want to go when I see step one.
I would be stressed.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm already stressed not knowing the things. Like, there's like this just general sense of like overwhelm in terms of like, but I think the thing that calms me is like, oh, I don't know everything. And the reality is, like, in some of the steps, there might be thumbtacks, there might be splinters, they might be slippery, and we might fall back a few steps. Like, there's a lot on the stairs that if we knew all that was there, mm-hmm. we wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
And so I think that
some of it is like protection.
Yeah.
Like, just highlighting it is a, like, a test of your faith.
Yeah.
Because that is what God is doing in every with everything and every situation in our lives, is definitely growing us in faith. And so we have to be challenged in faith by step one only being highlighted.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think it breeds intimacy with God too.
Yeah.
Like it builds like an arsenal of memories of like God getting you through something.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think God, there's grace set aside for like human reactions to things. But yeah, but the important thing is that we land on going or doing what God has called us to do. So what's a situation that you think?
For me,
currently. Like, what's a real life? What is doing, like, tell me a time that you really had to do it blind?
I think I'm actually in a season right now.
Okay.
Slash, I know I'm in a season right now where God is calling me to take steps one. So for context, I am getting my Master's of Divinity.
Okay,
I'll be done in December. Praise the Lord, I'm so tired. But I'll be done in December. And previously, I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do, but I was kind of cool with like, I'll trust the process. It's fine. Whatever happens, happens. However, about a month ago, so this is also like much more recent, but about a month ago, I felt like God was telling me to go to get a PhD / go into a doctoral program.
Yeah.
And I said,
you're gonna be reading?
No, you're gonna be trying to read, trying to learn something, you know?
That's what I think.
I don't know. But like, it's funny because when I first started my program, my master's program, I was very like, okay, yeah, I'll get my PhD one day, it'll be fine. However, over the last year, I was very much like, I'm tired of school.
Mm.
I'm tired. I just want to kind of like live life, you know, like mm-hmm. without the burden of school, all the things. And so it was very disheartening when I started to trust God, like, I don't have to go the path that I thought I was going to go anymore. I don't have to do the things that I thought I was going to do. I'm going to like pivot, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. But now that God's calling me back to like that original desire, and also in a program that I have little experience, I feel like God is calling me to something where I had no intention of ever like studying that subject or practically mm-hmm. living that subject out, like once I finish my doctoral program. And so it's like, it's been very unsettling. Like last week, me and my boyfriend were in the car talking about it, and I was just like crying because mm-hmm. I was like, I want to shake this. Like, I don't want to do this program. I don't want to even like get my hopes up to apply, but God, like, you won't let it leave me. Mm-hmm. And I know that you are calling me to do this thing.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I've been currently in a process of like, okay, I'm gonna trust God, even though I'm very overwhelmed. I also have no desire to do this, although God is like slowly growing my desire. He's growing my excitement and my hope mm-hmm. to do it, and even to like take the step out to apply as well. But it's very much like from now to when applications are due, I don't know all the steps, but it's like, okay, Lord, I'm trusting you.
Right.
Once I get to the program, I don't know what I'm going to do afterwards, but Lord, I'm trusting you. And like, just trusting that the little inklings that God has given me and the things that I do know, and also, again, the things that I know about God, who I believe is calling me to this, mm-hmm. like, I'm trying to trust in that and trust like, okay, God, you have something for me in mind. You're not leading me here just to like literally leave me or to like abandon me, laugh at me, just torture me. Like, that's not the point. So
yeah, that's not as hard
for me. Yeah,
so I feel like I can hear people sort of being lost in your certainty around the fact that like God is calling you to this program. And so I have that question.
Yeah.
How do you know God is calling you to the program? Like, mm-hmm. what was that experience like for you?
Yeah.
And it may be different for everybody, but I think just to give people context. And then also, like, when you are dealing with this very, like, human emotion towards the reality of what God has asked you to do, like, how are you addressing those emotions? Like, what are you doing to kind of get yourself back down to, like, a normal... like, how are you here today, all smiley and beautiful?
Thank you. You look cute too. So for your first question, how do I know is God calling me? So one, I try to develop, or I've tried to have a deep intimacy with God. And so this thing kind of happened on the heels of one of my quiet times. Mm-hmm. Slash, I had been praying. I'm pretty sure I was in the middle of a fast. Over the last year, I feel like I've kind of consistently been in fasting / like consecration seasons.
So good.
Praise the Lord. It is good. It's It's gotten to the point, this is a side note, but it's gotten to the point with like the frequency with which I've been fasting. Mm-hmm. When I finally end a fast, it's been like, oh, I feel like I should be giving something up right now. Like, I feel like, But at the time that God told me I was fasting and praying, mm-hmm, about other things, and it was like God was just directing me. And there were other little inklings in my mind, like in the past, that it felt like this was a confirmation of, in terms of, in the past, I kind of known, like, I want to go to, if I get my PhD, I want to go to this specific program. Again, I moved away from that thought, but it came back. Like, it was like God was kind of prepping me in a way prior to like the whole, like, okay, this is a program that I want you to do and all the things.
So it's like a knowing.
Yeah, it's like a knowing that comes from me intentionally spending time with God. And then I've also been, part of that knowing is kind of like buttressed with, I try to be very intentional about seeking wise counsel when I think that God is telling me something. And so when I first thought that God was telling me this thing, which I couldn't sleep for a while, it was just one of those things where it was very, very heavy kind of on my spirit. Like, I just felt this weightiness on me. And so then I ended up telling my mom and my boyfriend about it, just to kind of hear their thoughts. They were encouraging, but also realistic. But even in that realist, or in them being real with me about like, this is what it'll take, or like, are you ready? Yada, yada. It was like, again, I still felt that weightiness in terms of like, I can't shake this. And so I spoke with the dean of my divinity school about this as well, like maybe a week later. And in his conversation, it was even more confirmation. And like, people would just like, I was talking to this lady and she was like, are you considering going and getting your doctorate? You just look like you should get your PhD. Like, and I was like, I don't know what that mean. Like, I look like what? But it was just like,
it'd be the lock.
Is it the lock? I think I might've been wearing my glasses. I was like, maybe I look scholarly right now. I was like, I don't know what that means.
Black women with locks. We know something.
Listen, you said, I was like, don't tell me that actually, because, and like, as she said that, it was just like something in my spirit quickened, you didn't realize that I was literally talking to God about this. I was struggling with God. And so I think that it's like, you said, it's like a knowing, but that knowing for me has come with a deep intimacy with God as well. And I don't, it's come with a deep intimacy as well as me actually seeking out wise counsel, and being willing to take steps in the sense of like, okay, God, if this is what you're saying, then I will look at programs. And as I've been doing that, God's been revealing like, okay, this is the specific program I want you to apply for. Literally. And so
that's so good.
That was, I don't remember question two, but
Well, what was question two? I don't know, girl. All right, let's just stick with question one. I love that. So you said the way that you knew or felt certain that was first, you, like, the scripture that came to mind was like, my sheep will know my voice. And so like being intentional in our lives on a day-to-day basis and building like intimacy, like when God is saying something, you know it. Like, we as his sheep will know when he's speaking. And so there's a knowing on the inside of us because of that. And then the second thing, you went to wise counsel. Right? You went to people that you knew were also walking with God and that you had a relationship with to run these things by. And you felt like that was an encouragement to move forward. And then you experience like people that are not necessarily in relationship with you and God sort of using the natural created things around us to also create like a confirmation, and it's quickened in in your spirit. And I think that's so good. I love the fact that the first foundation thing about being certain about what God is doing in our lives is to have a authentic, intimate relationship with him. Like, it has to start there. Or, you know, you'll be confused about you'll be confused about a lot of things. Like, a lot of things will be hard to be approached you're just not gonna know. Like, you need to have a relationship with God in that way and just be on top of it on a day-to-day basis. I think for me, it's very similar, if not literally the same. Yeah, like, I think the formula of, like, how I got to be very certain about my situation of doing it blind, I think this is gonna sound crazy. People gonna be like, girl, what?
Oh, Lord. It's okay.
But my thing with doing it blind was marrying my husband.
Oh, yes. Tell the people.
Definitely did that one blind.
She's the missus, y'all, just in case y'all ain't know.
Period. Mm-hmm. Okay. But yeah, I did that blind because, you know, me and my husband had not known each other for a very long time. Mm-hmm. So I know that the people love a good timeline. Mm-hmm. and that is supposed to create some sort of certainty of your relationship or your decision.
Like, y'all been together 5 years, XYZ.
And so for me and my husband, we both have solid relationships with God. Mm-hmm. And we were friends. We joined the same church recently. And we were just, you know, sister and brother in Christ. We didn't really, like, I really didn't see him like that, you know, and just wasn't highlighted. And us just sacrificing time and going to, like, this random Bible study at our church. It's like Friday, 11 o'clock in the morning. So it's just like old, seasoned.
Yeah.
It's the retired season saints. Okay. In this Bible.
Not the retired. That does sound
I feel like they're retired. I feel like they're retired. Okay. Like, they just chilling. Uh-huh. You know, so they have the time to, like, go to this Bible study. And it was really random, you know, from our perspective. And so we're in this class and, you know, the Lord starts to highlight one another. In hindsight, we realize that process sort of happened at the same time, and just being able to hear each other's hearts and see each other's hearts around our relationship with God is what God used to create a desire to want to know more, you know, and get to know each other more. And so we did that. And then it wasn't long, I don't know, maybe a month before God started to lay marriage on our hearts. And I think
y'all were dating at that point, or?
We went on a couple dates.
Got you. Okay.
Yeah. So I think we were, I don't even think we had a full run, you know, of, like, courting and all this. Yeah. You know, we kind of just went out and was very intentional about the conversations that we were having. Like, we kind of went into the date, if you will, with an intention to really know, like, why is God highlighting you?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, at least for me, I'm like, what does God want for us? You know, so we're in that, going to these dates with that discovery in mind. And it was very soon when God started to lay marriage on our hearts, and I think that it scared us, right? Because we're in the world like everyone else. We hear the same messages like everyone else, and so we're like, how is this even possible? Right? So but there was just a knowing, and we knew that we know God, you know? And so you have to, at least from my end, it was more about realizing that I have to give my heart to a human being in a way that I've only trusted to give God that level of, like, the whole thing, like, not even if 99 is that's still too much. You know, and so I had to, you know, navigate the fear of that, right? And just really trust what I know God was telling me about this person being my husband. And even if I was scared, to continue to, like, stay rooted and allow God to, at least, you know, to take me to the next step. And so I feel like we had to, you know, do things blind in that way. And like you said, having all these emotions, and everything. But it went from, you know, we having this relationship with God, and so we know. And once I started to realize that God was laying marriage on our hearts, I went to counsel because I'm like, no way.
Yeah.
Yes. No way this is happening. No way I have to give my heart. Like, I don't know how to do this. I know that this type of relationship requires this out of me, and I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
So going to wise counsel, my godmother, and just really talking to her, and like you said, being encouraged and allowing her to hear from God as well, and just confirming, like, no, I think that this situation is different. This is really, you know, God moving you in a direction. And so I want you to be prayerful. I want you to trust this man off the strength that God has led him in your life, you know, and you can trust it because of God, you know. And then once we sort of settled into the conversation of getting married, then it was like random people, like you said, would come up to us and be like, oh, how long have you guys been friends? And, you know, I see this in you as a woman of God. I see this in you as a man of God. And I really just think y'all got something, you know. And it just was like, whoa. Like, it was like a like an awe that that God would confirm it so consistently like that. It became more encouraging to continue on the path and to take that leap of faith into a covenant with the Lord, because it was just like God was setting it up in a way where it's just like, you would just be suppressing the truth if you landed on like, this wasn't God. You know, and instead of adopting this mindset of fear towards marriage, we just ran towards it in faith. And God is good and has been blessing us ever since. But I think that it required us to sort of like, let's just put the bandana on and jump. You know what I mean? Because what the thing that we do know is that like God is doing it. God has brought us together. God has confirmed it. I know it. Our council knows it. These random people know it. You know, so you'll just be kind of delusional to not get on board on what God is doing. And like, I'm not really trying to be in a season where I'm in the belly of a fish. Like, that's not what I want to do.
Listen, you know? I've been thinking about Jonah a lot. And I said, I understand it, though. That's me. No, there were two things that you said, though, that, like, stood out for me in terms of, one, like, not just trusting your now husband, but also trusting God in the sense of, God, I'm trusting you about this man, about this marriage that I'm going into. But also doing it blind in that sense was y'all choosing to put a blindfold on so that you could get rid of all of the excess things or like the fears that might come with it, all of it. And so my question for you in terms of putting the blindfold on, what were some things that you were trying to, or you and your husband, what were some things y'all were trying to avoid seeing?
People. The opinions of people, you know, the opinions of people feeling like it was too fast, you know, measuring the time of God. I think that we had to put blindfolds on our own thoughts and opinions of ourselves. You know, for me, it was just like,
that's good.
You know, you see, like, God gives you eyes to see. And you're like, no way. And my husband felt the same way. Like, he's like, I see the woman of God that you are. And am I capable of like doing this. And I think it's just because like God gives you the eye, like you said, there is a growing of desire, there is a growing in provision of the thing that God is leading you towards, as long as you stay focused. And I think also we have to put blindfolds onto the humanity in all of it, you know, that you can't necessarily make decisions based off what you feel. You have to make decisions based off what you know. And I think that God is really gracious about the duality of that. Me and my husband were actually just talking about this maybe yesterday, and we were discussing like, well, I had I had an experience of like a greater, you know, we went to this prayer night, and the message of this prayer night, just with the spirit of God being on one accord, was just about like going deeper in Christ.
Okay.
And just like going from glory to glory and like seeking that out and knowing that this walk with God requires us to go deeper.
Yeah.
And so God really gave me revelation about a particular thing that was happening in my life, but he gave me revelation about what it would require of me as a woman of God. But he also gave me revelation about how this would affect me as a human being. And the revelation of both things were just, like you said, overwhelming. And what we walked away talking about was just like the duality, you know, of who we are as people, that we are absolutely human. And as a believer, you've been born again, and you now are a spiritual being by way of the Holy Spirit being filled in you. And so as much as, you know, the scripture talks about living life by the Spirit and denying a life being led by the flesh, which is like all things fleshly, it's not only just like the sinful, most wickedest parts of humanity, but it could be just your emotions, your ways, your thoughts, your plans,
or even your physical like needs,
your physical
desires.
Because literally, it's so crazy you said that, because literally most of it was about a need. And God is like, okay, here's the solution. This is the solution. The solution is praise and worship. And I'm like, but I have this physical need.
Because
I'm human. And he was showing me like, yeah, well, that is going to have to suffer physically. And I want, like, you're suffering physically because the solution was what the Spirit was to do, and what he was calling to me to do as a woman of God was just to worship and praise. And I was just like, yeah, that's like telling me to worship when I'm coming to you for some food.
I was like,
I'm hungry still.
I'm still hungry.
But what about my hunger? And so I'm crying out to God. I'm like, but what about my hunger? You know, and we look to Jesus. My husband was so great at like taking, you know, I could be very biblical in my conversation, but he's really good at like actually putting the scripture to what it is that I'm saying, you know. So he was able to, you know, point out this reality of Romans 8, and I'm going to read it.
Romans 8 is one of my favorite chapters.
Yes, girl, we need Romans 8. So this is Romans 8:5. It says, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Right? So we started there just to kind of, you know, create a foundation of like, okay, here are these dual realities that we're living with as believers. This very, we're subject to the body, which is our flesh, but we have the Holy Spirit. And God is calling us to live life by the Spirit, to have a mind that's going to choose the way of the Spirit. And then he talked about like Jesus asking, you know, God the Father to remove this cup from him.
Yeah.
Right. And, but before that, it was just like going into the garden with his closest people, right, to mourn and grieve the reality that like, okay, I spent all this time and now we're here.
We're here. I've been telling you about this.
I've been telling you about this, and now the time has come.
Yeah.